Order the January meeting of the Oak Ridge Board of Education. I would like to call on Mr. Vidal Moreno, who's going to introduce our special guest tonight. And if you would please stand as we recognize our colors in the pledge of the flag as the colors are presented by Wildcat Cadet Corps.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Hi, my name is Bronson Burdick.
And everybody can be seated.
My name is Bronson Burdick. I'm a vice president for the Maskers organization. This is Ashley Gerber. She's another vice president, along with Lauren McCoy and Natasha and Caroline. Caroline is also the assistant manager. Reagan is co-president with Lillian. That's the crew we got going on. These are our Maskers officers. We meet every Friday to discuss the ins and outs of what's going on with the Maskers program presently. So the show we got going on is the Music Man. It's happening the first weekend in March, March 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. We'll have a Friday evening show, a Sunday and Saturday matinee show, and of course a Saturday evening show. Basically, I'm Harold Hill, I'm the main professor, and Lauren McCoy, she is Marion the librarian, the one who I end up falling in love with. Lillian, she's a master of disguise, along with Natasha, the mayor's wife, Eulalie McKechnie-Shin. Our stage managers, basically, they're not roles in the show, but they have a big role of doing a whole lot of, you know, behind the scenes work and keeping everything in check. And Ashley also has a role in the ensemble as well. So I want to thank you all for having us come out here.
Wait a minute. Wait. Wait, come back. Yes. Since you're in the lead role,
yes,
you could probably, and this, we're talking about the music man, yes, right? You could probably give us just a little impromptu song right here from the music man. Not that I want to put you on the spot or anything.
But you got to realize I'm a con man. I don't actually know any music.
So they all left you.
Yeah, they did.
Let me just tickets. Yeah. Yeah, that'd be great.
Acapella? Trouble acapella? Okay, I'll do it. Okay. Either you're closing your eyes to a situation you do not wish to acknowledge, or you are not aware of the caliber of disaster indicated by the presence of a pool table in your community. Well, you got trouble, my friend. Right here, I say trouble right here in River City. Why, sure, I'm a billiard player, certainly mighty proud to say. I'm always mighty proud to say it. I consider that the hours I spend with a cue in my hand are golden. Help it cultivate horse sense with a cool head and a keen eye. Did you ever take and try to find an ironclad lead for yourself from a three-rail billiard shot? But just as I say, it takes judgments, brains, and maturity to score in a balk line game. I say that any boob can take and shove a ball in a pocket. And I call that sloth the first big step on the road to the depths of degradation. But first, medicinal wine from a teaspoon, then beer from a bottle. And the next thing you know, your son is playing for money in a pinchback suit. And listening to some big out-of-town Jasper, hearing him tell about horse race gambling. Not a wholesome trotting race, no, but a race where they sit down and ride on the horse. Like to see some stuck-up jockey boys sitting on damn patch, make your blood boil, well, I should say. Now, friends, let me tell you what I mean. You got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 pockets in the table. Pockets that mark the difference between a gentleman and a bum, with a capital B, and that rhymes with P, and that stands for pool. And all week long, your River City youth will be frittering away. Say, your young ones will be frittering. Frittering away there. Noontime, supper time, chore time, too. Get the ball in the pocket. Never mind getting dandelions pulled, or the screen door patched, or the beefsteak pounded. Never mind pumping any water till your parents are caught with the cyst turned empty on a Saturday night, and that's trouble. Yes, you got lots and lots of trouble. I'm thinking about the kids in the Knickerbocker shirt tail, young ones peeking in the pool hall when you're after school. You got trouble, folks, right here in River City. Trouble with the capital T, and that rhymes with P, and that stands for pool.
Well, you just sold another 100 tickets right there, I assure you. Okay, again, the dates.
March
2nd, 3rd, and 4th, The Music Man, Oak Ridge High School Performing Arts Center. I'll make this comment, Mr. Marino. I'm sure it's been said to you 100 times, but I've never said it, and this board, I'm sure, will agree with me. There was a time, a number of years ago, as you will remember, that the maskers had just kind of maskered off into oblivion. And over the last 5 years?
7 years.
7 years. There has been a revitalization, and so much of that credit goes to you for your willingness to step forward and bring unbelievable talent that we have at Oak Ridge High School. If you haven't been to any of their productions, you've missed out. I will guarantee you, and I'm sure this will be the same. So thank you, and ladies and gentlemen, we'll look forward to seeing you and at your best in River City. Next on the agenda is the approval of the agenda. Do I hear a motion?
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. McLean, seconded by Mr. Eby. No additions or changes to the agenda, so all those in favor of approving as is signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed. Motion carries unanimously. Moving next to special reports and presentations. First, good news, Dr. Borchers.
Just very quickly, just wanted to share that we've had an annual inspection for our Navy JROTC, and that was held before break, and they received an overall rating of outstanding and impressed the inspectors with our incredible progress in our first 6 months. And I'll highlight just a couple of areas here. We had just remarks from this review. School system program support was ranked as outstanding. Administration of the program was ranked as outstanding. Academic program was also outstanding. And reports and records were ranked outstanding. So we can't say enough about Chief Nichols and his students and just how well they're doing in the first year of this program.
That's great. Mr. Abey.
My good news comes from Glenwood. Glenwood captured 4 of the top 10 classes in the November Dream Box contest. And also, Amy Kennedy, Glenwood third grade teacher, won the ORI's October 2017 Extreme Weather Lesson Plan Competition and was awarded an iPad for the class set of clickers.
Ms. Eagle.
And district-wide, Oak Ridge Schools has received the Read to Be Ready grant in the amount of $105,000 to fund summer reading camps at all 4 elementary schools. This is a continuing program, and it is great news.
And my good news comes from the district as a whole. Would like to recognize, in fact, I think we have one of these individuals in the audience tonight. Recognize the teachers who have been selected by their individual schools in the district as their Teacher of the Year, and they will be looking forward to a selection of a Teacher of the Year for the entire district. So would recognize, like to recognize from the preschool, Linda Dalton, from Woodland, Mr. Michael Martin, who is in the audience tonight, so congratulations to you. From Glenwood, Lauren Blair. From Willowbrook, Donna Grove. From Linden, Lisa Buckner. From Robertsville, Bob O'Connor. From Jefferson, Steve Reddick. And from Oak Ridge High School, Leslie Shelton. Congratulations to those individuals and the outstanding job that they do and the recognition they've received from their peers. So that's just some of the good news that's going on in the Oak Ridge schools. So I'm going to move from here. One of the things that the Board of Education has begun doing is recognizing some of our many outstanding volunteers that we have in the Oak Ridge district. Each meeting, we will recognize volunteers from selected schools in our district that have been nominated by those schools. And then at the end of the school year, the board will then select one of these volunteers to represent our district at the fall district meeting. And hopefully then, if they get selected to go there, move on to be recognized as the Tennessee School Board Association Volunteer of the Year for the state. So tonight we have some volunteers that we would like to recognize. Would like to ask Ms. Melanie Smith to please come up, and Ms. Downard from the preschool, since she was nominated from the preschool. And I will make a couple of comments, and Ms. Downard will do so as well. Melanie Smith is a manager at Y-12 Federal Credit Union, is a tremendous asset to the preschool program. Melanie, along with the Y-12 Federal Credit Union, provides training for our families on budgeting, home ownership, support. They provide classroom education to the students as well. Y-12 Federal Credit Union has a Penny Penguin Club for children under 18. They allow students to earn Penny Penguin money for prizes. They help our families establish bank accounts and often offer gift cards to our families. In addition, they provide snow cones every year for our fall family picnic, provide materials as well for the staff. They also allow us to use their popcorn machine for special events.
The all-important popcorn machine.
Yes. That's right.
No, you know, at the preschool, we are really all about our community partnerships
And Y-12 is certainly one of those partnerships, and we really greatly appreciate them. Actually, tomorrow they'll be at our program. They come in and present lessons to our students. You know, we start the whole fiscal responsibility very early, trying to give those students some awareness about saving money and how to go about that. So they provide services to our children. They provide those services to our families, providing any kind of financial counseling they may need. They are truly a partnership for our program, and we really, truly, greatly appreciate them. So thank you, Melanie.
Thank you. We appreciate the preschool. It's a joy.
And please help me in recognizing Melanie Smith for her support, dedication, and service as a volunteer for the Oak Ridge Schools. Turn right that way. Ben's going to get a picture.
Thank you.
Next, I would like to ask Dr. Childress from Robertsville, and Todd, why don't you come on up too? And then would ask Bob and Janet Cushman to come up, please. Bob and Janet have dedicated over 14 years of service to Robertsville Middle School and to the Technology Student Association program there. I can testify firsthand on their involvement as my son was a part of the TSA program. They have worked tirelessly to aid, support, and to encourage students to extend themselves and learn what their capabilities are. They've traveled many, many miles sponsoring the students as they go forward in these endeavors. And I'm going to ask the two of them can make better comments than I can, I'm sure, particularly Mr. Livesey.
So I'll put you on the spot.
Yeah, a little bit.
Well, Mr. Livesey and I both cannot thank these two enough. And I can say that these two I have seen over the past 14 years, not just in my capacity of working with Oak Ridge Schools, but also in my capacity of serving with the National Technology Student Association. These two are extremely valuable people, not just to Robertsville and to the students that's gone through our program there, but they're also very valuable to students in the region of East Tennessee, as well as students in the state of Tennessee, as well as students across the nation. So thank you so much, Mr. and Mrs. Cushman, because they are just invaluable to students' lives, and the difference they've made in the last 14 years is just unbelievable. So thank you so much.
Well, I really wasn't planning on speaking tonight, but I will give this a shot. I have been teaching for a long time, and about halfway through it, I was fortunate enough to have Bob and Janet's daughter, KC Cushman, as my president at Robertsville TSA for 7th and 8th grade year. And once KC went to 9th grade, these guys retired from the lab, and they come into my room and said, hey, we're retired. Do you need any help? And I'm like, oh, yeah, I could use some help. And I didn't know how much help I needed until they started helping me. And I actually wrote to Dr. Childress all the things that they had done, and I don't have that with me, but off the cuff, they developed spreadsheets to help us schedule our kids for our events. We now run TSA like a scheduled school day because they thought of that. So there's no intermingling among the, you know, with kids and events and stuff. They put together spreadsheets before we go to conference, looking at possible snafus with the schedule. With this kid's in this event, but he's got something at, you know, a test at this time. All of that stuff is figured out before we go because of Bob and Janet. They have paid their way to every trip that we go on. They pay, and all of my advisors, Ms. Eagle, and all of the advisors that help, they pay their way because they don't want the kids to shoulder any burden on that and keep the cost up. So we've always done our trips cheaper than about anybody else in the system. It's because all of our advisors pay their way. They've also paid a lot of kids way on trips. They'll always come and say, hey, if you got somebody that, you know, needs some money, let me know. So they pay their way plus somebody else's way. So they've not only invested their time, they've invested their finances and their skills. And, you know, it's been 14 years of absolute joy for me to be associated with people like this. And I'm really going to miss them. And Oak Ridge is going to miss them. But they've earned it. Okay, I'm done.
Help me in congratulating Bob and Janet Cushman for their support, dedication, and service as a volunteer for the Oak Ridge Schools. Congratulations. Won't y'all hold that, and we'll stand right here like this.
No bunny ears.
If I made you say something, at least you could have your picture taken, right?
I mean, I showed up.
Thank you all again.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Next on the agenda, Dr. Borchers.
Yeah, the governor has proclaimed that this is School Board Appreciation Week, and I'm going to read through his proclamation in just a second. But just a big shout out to our board. I believe you guys have been and continue to be best in class. I would say best in Tennessee, best in the country, and your unwavering focus on staff and kids and families is second to none, and it's a pleasure, and I think our community should be very lucky to have you as our board members and helping us run this district. So I thank you, and I'll hold the applause until after the proclamation here. So I'm going to read through this. Whereas an excellent public education system is vital to the quality of life of Tennessee's communities and to the economic development of the state, and whereas school board members represent a tremendous resource as local decision makers and diligently work to overcome the challenges of a changing world while providing students with the services and opportunities needed for a quality education, and whereas school board members strive to ensure that every student graduates high school prepared for college and the workplace, and whereas school board members support and appreciate the efforts of students, educators, and administrators whose diligent efforts have led to Tennessee having the highest graduation rate on record, whereas the men and women of our local school boards are elected by the people to make decisions most appropriate for their communities and deserve recognition and thanks for their countless hours of service to public education. Therefore, Governor Haslam proclaims the week of January 21st through the 27th, 2018 as School Board Appreciation Week. So those in attendance and at home, please help me congratulate and thank our wonderful school board.
Thank you very much. Much appreciated. Item D, Goal 4 of Oak Ridge 2020. Dr. Borchers.
We'll just keep moving, and I believe Bruce Lay jumped up and said he wanted to start this presentation earlier today in our executive committee. He's very excited to take us through the Goal 4 report. Yes. And others. Yes, but he's starting.
Yes. So thank you very much. We do have the Oak Ridge 2020 Achieving Excellence in Education Goal 4. See if my button's working. Oh, that's beautiful. Okay. All right. We have Oak Ridge 2020 Achieving Excellence in Education. As we always say, we just want to aggressively pursue academic excellence and offer all we can to our future today's students. And as we always say, that's what it's all about, is our students. We have read this many times this year already, so I won't go through the whole thing, but I'm just always reminded it's all about the kids. And to me, that's just one of the strongest statements. Mutual respect and teamwork are the foundations for success. So we realize we will determine our future, and we can determine the effectiveness of what we're doing. Five strategic goals. Goal 1, academic excellence. World-class balance, curriculum, and instruction focus on student achievement. Goal 2, educator excellence. Goal 3, learning environment excellence. Goal 4, operational excellence. Goal 5, stakeholder excellence. Go for operational excellence. Number one, adopt and embrace a comprehensive excellence framework to continuous improvement. Number two, create and implement a technology roadmap that encompasses applications for the student, business systems, operations, and infrastructure. Number three, utilize a performance management system that encourages collaboration, teamwork, and communication and leads to improved organizational effectiveness. Number four, integrate business systems and processes to support shared data, seamless access, and data-driven risk-informed decision-making. Fifth, create a strong, transparent city-school alliance focused on financial resources and capital asset improvement. And lastly, identify and pursue non-traditional revenue sources. Okay, at this time, I'll turn it over to Dr. Beckendorf.
All right, we'd like to talk about our celebrations for goal four. First of all, we feel really good about our scorecard. So as you all know, our scorecard breaks down our overall goals into achievable metrics, and we really watch how we perform year to year on these metrics. So we're feeling like we're in a much better place with our scorecard for Oak Ridge 2020 now. The next one, we do have a blooper in our data here. So we've increased the percentage of students who have devices from 41.6% to 81%. So sorry about that, 48 should be an 81.
I need to interrupt, that is my fault, okay? Tony and I basically calculated that number, and he came to me today and said, is this correct? I said, it looks too high. I didn't go back and read the goal, and it was grades 3 through 12. And we went back and calculated grades K, 1, and 2. So the original number was correct.
So I wasn't going to call you out like that. Anyhow, that should be 81%. So that's a pretty incredible, and that is thanks to our community of Oak Ridge for really supporting us and supporting our technology initiative, but also for our IT department who've done just an incredible job with everything that it has required in order for us to get to 81% of that goal this year. Last year we had an on-site review of federal programs, which included titles 1, 2, 3, and special education. So we did well in all areas. That was a very massive endeavor. And another celebration is we now participate in a grant writing body where we have representatives from ORAL, Rhone State, Pellissippi State, and Oak Ridge Schools all working together in order to increase non-traditional revenue sources and partnerships. Our opportunities now, we need to provide devices for our students in grades K through 2. One thing we need to think about is how are we not only going to provide devices, but to really think about other classroom technology. For example, we have Promethean boards in many places in many classrooms in our school district, but they're starting to get a little bit old. So we need to think about how are we going to upgrade that kind of environment. And also we need to think about flexible seating. Flexible seating is becoming more and more important, and we need to figure out how we can do that throughout our district.
You know, we are pleased with our relationship with the city, but we will continue to work with the city to fund our identified CIP projects. Our current model would be fix on failure, and we really do need to do better in that area, so we're working on that.
Okay, and next, we are in the process already of working on our FY19 budget, and one of our opportunities is to better utilize our current tools that we have, our financial software, to do better month-to-month, year-to-year monitoring on where we are both with budget and actuals as we move through the process. We'll be using that also to, during our development process, we're going to do, the leadership will determine or point out a list of prioritized projects that can't be funded for that current year, but also that we would have them in place should those funds develop from higher than anticipated revenues or expenditures of that nature. Then also in this current year, we're using the Microsoft Excel budget spreadsheet, and we are monitoring that and also adding a column on that spreadsheet to reflect our forecasted quarter cash flows as we move forward. But we'll be closely monitoring our expenditures and revenues as we go forward.
In Goal 4 strategies, the first item that we noted here was beginning access Oak Ridge at the elementary level. We have several devices or many devices in our fourth grade classrooms, but we really haven't pulled out Access Oak Ridge elementary wide. And our elementary teachers are so enthusiastic and ready to go. I think Access Oak Ridge at the elementary level is going to be fantastic.
Okay, and also our strategies include aligning the Oak Ridge School's budget with the government finance officers' best practices for school budgets. Those include a framework that aligns our resources with our student outcomes and is centered on focusing our academic and financial collaboration to best align with our resources and our desired student outcomes. We are working on improving the formal budget development and monitoring process. We have begun our budget season earlier this year. We've already had numerous meetings going back to December and also for the following year in 1920 we'll be doing the budget in both Excel and in our Skyward financial software simultaneously to determine that it does work correctly, and after that we will go completely with our Skyward financial software for budgeting.
All right, any questions or clarification?
Mr. Eby.
Yeah, a couple of comments. First, very, very pleased to see the where we are on the one-to-one and moving that forward in the elementary schools and on the K through two. I mean, that's outstanding. And Pat, I'm glad to see you there. I know you got a lot of work ahead of you, but I think you've got the right attitude about looking how we can improve. So, well,
Ms. Marshall.
Yeah, just for the benefit of the community, as we talk about K through two and Access Oak Ridge, just a friendly reminder that we are very smart people about the way we deploy resources like that, and that while we have taken a lot of time and effort to determine what age appropriate looks like for high schoolers and middle schoolers, that we will be doing the same due diligence with our K through two. So we are not assuming a one size fits all solution there. I just wanted to give you a chance to address that before we get the emails when we get home. So
it's exciting to know that so many people watch us on TV. Hi. Actually, we've had an elementary technology committee all year, and the elementary technology committee is composed of, well, Mr. Ward, the principal of Linden Elementary, is the lead, but we have teachers representing all different grades and different content areas on the elementary technology committee. So we've actually done a lot of site visits, taking a look at what do best practices in technology look like at the elementary level? I think the number one concern that I hear is, are we going to send the devices home? No, you know, we're not going to send a computer in a backpack on the back of a kindergartner. So a lot of people are worried that we're going to do that. No, we won't do that. The only possible thing that we've even discussed, which we haven't even agreed on yet, is that we might consider in some cases sending home some devices with fourth graders at the end of the year to prepare them for middle school. We don't even have consensus on that yet, but certainly kindergarten, first grade, second grade, third grade, that's not even an option. And then, as you said, the technology might look different. One thing that we've really seen is that the keyboard aspect of the device appears to be more important a little later in the elementary school program. Right now what we're thinking is that we'll have laptops with keyboards starting in second grade. and then potentially iPads in kindergarten and first grade. Now, there could be some classrooms, like we have special education teachers, such as Megan Sawyer at Woodland Elementary School. Mr. Hobby's right there. She does incredible things with iPads and apps to help some of her students verbalize and communicate. So there might be little pockets of iPads in other places, but we actually saw second graders learning how to type and keyboard when we did our site visits, and it helped us really feel like the transition should probably occur in second grade. But you're right. And then we also have to think about what I was saying about Promethean boards. The next generation of that looks like having multiple students can interact at the same time with the screen, where you have something that can act like a TV or can act like a tablet, or and it can be mobile, you know, move around. You could do mystery Skypes all over the world. You know, it's just more versatile. It's the next generation. So we're really thinking about all of these things, but I do want to reassure our community that we're not going to put this on a kindergartner's back and send it home.
Yeah, just one further question, and this is just for my own as a parent of children. My children are older than that, but has the technology, elementary school technology committee, consulted with any of the pediatric medical community in Oak Ridge? Because I know APA, psychological community, has opinions about exposure to technology at certain age levels. How are we tapping into some of that expertise that may not be education centric, but may also contribute to our learning there?
I think that's a good point that we actually should call in the we haven't called in pediatricians yet, and I think that's a good idea. Now, we have considered screen time, and I didn't say that a minute ago, but I should have, that we're not envisioning that everything a child does will be on technology. We're not envisioning that kids don't cut things out, or they don't color, or they don't learn to write with a pencil. That's not what we're looking at. Some of the things that we saw that were kind of neat, though, at our site visits, let's say you have a whole group of reading, and you're all reading a story together. And then the teacher's reading the story, and the teacher says, where did the snowman walk, or whatever? Well, everyone can answer in some way, whether it's a picture or a location or whatever, and hold it up. So what ends up happening is that every child becomes engaged in the story. So you don't have some students not engaged in the story and some students paying attention. We saw some neat things, but we also saw kids coloring and jumping up and down and playing on the playground and doing all the things that kids do. The technology was just there to help increase engagement from every single child, and also gives some special access for kids who might have different needs. So it was pretty neat to see, but didn't do away with what we think of as kindergarten.
Other questions? All right, thank you very much. Moving next to the public forum. A public forum is for anyone who would like to address a topic that is not on the agenda. You may address a topic that is on the agenda when it is presented. If you choose to address the board, you will have 3 minutes to speak. The board may or may not respond to your comments, or may have the superintendent address your concerns. When you speak, please come to the podium and sign in, and then state your name and address. Is there anyone who wishes to address the board in the public forum at this time? Seeing no one, we'll move on to the consent agenda. I hear a motion.
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Marshall, seconded by Ms. Eagle. All those in favor of approving the consent agenda signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed. Motion carries unanimously. Moving on then to items for action. Board policy 6.204, attendance of non-resident students, employee tuition. This is a first reading. Dr. Borkus.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of Board Policy 6.204, attendance of non-resident students, employee tuition.
For the superintendent's recommendation, do I hear a motion?
Move for approval.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Eby, seconded by Ms. Marshall. Dr. Borkus.
This has been a topic in 5 years since I've been here of the Superintendent Study Council and staff asking to look at this policy. And most recently, that suggestion to look at this policy would be not to have a free tuition, but to bring a tuition level down that is pretty comparable to districts surrounding us. So after talking to the board in one of our work sessions, our team here, and I'll ask them to help me answer questions here, have put together, you have a policy in front of you, red line. You have the tuition application with some changes due to adding this part for our current staff. And then the tuition financial is the third document on this item. And I'll point quickly, because the board has seen the policy before, not with changes, but the tuition application are all things we're used to with those changes. The tuition financial piece, you'll see we're recommending a annual tuition of $1,685. And through discussion with the team, executive directors, Pat, you'll see below there a method of payment. We thought it'd be helpful if someone wanted to do that all up front, go right ahead. But then we said, you know, what if we did that across pay periods? That would make this easier for our staff. And as you'll see there, it's $84.25 per pay period. So we think it's a common sense number that would be appropriate. And depending on what happens tonight, I can tell you we already have a couple of students in the hopper, and we haven't even got first reading yet. So that's exciting, but I'll talk more about that. But I'll open it up again. Dr. Henderson, Mr. Lay, Pat, we've all kind of worked on this together and all own a part of this. So I'll turn it over to you.
Questions? Ms. Engel.
At our work session a couple of months ago, we had discussed this, and the idea that was thrown out was maybe that staff tuition should be half of the standard rate, but the number proposed is a flat rate regardless of the county of residence, and it ends up being half price for the least expensive, which would be Anderson County residents. So those staff who live in, say, Knox County or other counties besides Roan and Anderson get a substantially bigger discount. My concern is, at a time when Oak Ridge as a city, as a community, we are trying to encourage more of our professionals who work here to live here, we're paying a benefit for them to do the opposite.
And I don't think that was the intention of the number you see here. I think when you looked at our old form and the various levels of tuition, this is kind of a reset, if you will, for us. And there was always such a mathematical and process that we felt, both in the finance department, I think Dr. Henderson's department, that we felt this would be a logical way. And I think you can look backwards and make that your statements very, very true, but we thought going forward we would do a reset and make it this number. And again, we're putting strategies in place here, so we're not adding teachers, we're not adding cost, and all of those things. So we felt the flat rate would simplify the process and still be attractive. And hopefully it will attract residents here. I think once their kids are here, they're participating in activities, I would think hopefully a few of those folks would say, you know, it'd be a lot easier if we just lived in Oak Ridge. And that was our intent behind that.
Mr. Eby.
Yeah, my question was, how did we come up with the number? Was it just 50% of the Anderson County rate, or what was the basis?
We really took that lowest rate, and we just took 50% of that. But we also discussed, you know, we value all of our employees, and just because one employee may live in Roan County, Knox County, or Anderson County, you know, we did want to treat our employees the same. We felt, you know, to some degree, to charge one more than another did not quite feel right on our behalf.
I don't think that if they live in Knox County or if they live in Roan County, that's going to make any difference whether they're going to move into Oak Ridge or not if they're getting, you know, a certain rate discount. I mean, I agree with Dr. Borchers that what we want to do is get the children into the schools and get them involved in the community and want them to come into here. But I was just curious the 50%. That was just kind of somebody thought that sounded like a good number, and that's what they're going
to
do.
Well, we also compared basically what we had been charging to the other school systems, and for us to be in line, that was really the figure that we needed to use, because we were charging, I mean, what we were charging was much higher than the other school systems in general. So this got us closer to what other school systems are basically charging. So.
What does Knox County charge, do you know?
I do not have that with me, sir.
The last document we had, and I'll ask others to help me, but we had some of the county school systems. We had Knox, Blount, Bradley, Sevier, who do not charge tuition. So there is no tuition charge there. Obviously, you know, you have Maryville City. It would be around $1,100 up to $2,200. Johnson City, $825 up to $1,650. And again, we thought this was a common sense number based on several of those factors and coming down from a pretty high tuition rate for some of our
So those that charge at some number up to a number, what causes them to have the variable? Is it the grade that the student is in, or is it the county that they're coming from, or do you know that?
At this point, what I'm looking at is it depends on the county and the city that they're living in. We don't have it broken down like we did for elementary, okay. Secondary, and they're probably like us, living with a lot of ghosts that it's been that way for a long time and it's stayed that way. So I'm sure in every different district, you probably get a different answer.
Thank you.
Yep.
Ms. McClain.
I know we had discussed the possibility of streamlining our tuition, not for staff kids, to make one tuition for K through 12. Is that still in the process?
Yeah, what you're seeing tonight on that third page is the number, regardless of grade level, regardless of what county they're coming from.
Okay. One thought that I think we need to add is if we do pass this, if a school employee leaves our employment, say, in the middle of the year, we need to address what their tuition would then be. How would we prorate it or whatever?
And I think that is one of the things we talked about with the pay everything up front or monthly as you go, so by pay period. So if they left, let's say, halfway through the year and they were on the 20 payments, we would have their payment up until that point. And that was a discussion we talked about, is trying to go back and then find it. So that was another reason for the two methods of payment that we chose.
Okay, good.
So
thanks.
Just kind of a follow-up on that. And I guess you've got to think of A to Z here almost. And sometimes you won't know until you actually do it what A to Z is going to be. Using the scenario that Ms. McClain just used, if we have a staff member that's under this policy, that staff member, for whatever reason, leaves the district, what if they want to leave their child in school?
That's what we need to make sure that we decide, okay, their tuition is this when they're employees, but then it will revert to the whatever our traditional tuition is that
right.
needs to be in the policy.
And those aren't the documents we have here tonight, so we have a separate application for non-staff. So we would, and as you said, Mr. Philowery, we talked this morning, we were trying to come up with every possibility, and some of these will be case by case as they come up, and you might see this again next year if we would pass that this year. Dr. Henderson, you've seen about every thing under the sun. With the question we just had, do you feel we can handle that if they're not an employee to move right to the other system? And I do mean Dr. Henderson has seen every, there's probably more out there maybe, but she's seen a lot of them.
If they move, it would go back. We would still have the rate for other people coming in who are not employees. So if we had an employee that left whatever county they went to and they wanted the child to stay, that staff rate would then be prorated to meet the regular rate of a non-employee.
And that's, I think, what we would anticipate to happen.
Right.
Well, let's just make sure that there's no question about it, that a person who gets in this situation, it's there in writing, so we don't have to come back and say, well, you know, this is what we thought. Well, they might not have thought that. So I think somewhere along the line that probably needs to be added into
and I think it's in there, but we'll double check to make sure it's in there and spelled out for them.
I think we had actually had it the other way to where if a if someone moved one way or the other, but I don't think we covered this specific situation where if a person's employment ended. And so we need to add a statement where if a student is here on the employee tuition and that person's employment ends, at that point the tuition would revert to the non-employee tuition rate. So we can add that statement.
Yeah, I think it is in there, but it's just worded different. Okay. But we'll make sure it's plain for them to understand.
I think it's on the bottom of the second handout that we have, the last paragraph.
Ms. Marshall.
Yeah, so I just want to start by saying thank you and end by saying thank you. This recommendation has come after many energetic conversations during multiple years of board retreats. We've talked to staff, we've enlisted teachers and their opinions, we've talked amongst ourselves and have wrestled a great deal with what is the right thing to do for not only our staff but our community. And I think the recommendation, such as it is, really acknowledges the fact that we want contributing positive contributors to our community, regardless of where they have come from, in hopes that they continue to get more and more plugged in over time. Of course, we would love to have everybody experience the nirvana that is Oak Ridge, right? But for those who can't, don't, or do not, that they still have the opportunity to contribute and be participants, and their children be a part of that as well. So I am appreciative of the recommendation.
And you know, I think too, if we went back, and we didn't, if we were still in the same scenario that we were in, say, 15 years ago, and you looked at a map, this discussion wouldn't be occurring. If you take a map and look at it now, and that has changed my thinking over those years as well, based on what you were saying.
Well, and lifestyles have just changed. They've changed with that map. So if you look at where people have the choice to live, where they have the choice to, for two parents who are at home, not at home, they're both employed, or one is employed in Knoxville. When I was growing up here in Oak Ridge, you didn't commute to Knoxville from out here. I mean, West Knoxville, and for those of you out there in television land who didn't live here in the 70s, West Knoxville was Cedar Bluff at the furthest, right? You remember when there was nothing, even like a Cracker Barrel at coming to Cedar Bluff was a big deal. But no, that was the edge of town in Knoxville. We didn't have all the places. Carnes was not what Carnes is now. So even the area here in Anderson County around Oak Ridge did not exist the way it does now. And so our ability to acknowledge the choices, the pushes and pulls and demands on families, and be able to begin to accommodate that, I think is good.
So. Mr. Eby.
And not only Carnes, but Pellissippi Parkway made a big, big difference. So I would encourage the board to continue, though, to look at how our tuition, overall tuition, I think, you know, we talked about this being the first step that, you know, I agree the teachers, the staff has first choice, but we need to look and see, do we have the right tuition program all in all, and is there something that we can do that can continue to improve the effectiveness and the efficiency of how we run the school systems, and then maybe that, you know, looks at the tuition overall tuition program. So over the next year and et cetera, next year or this time, I would hope that we'd come back and is there a possibility to expand that or not? I don't know.
Ms. McClain.
I know I've brought this up before, but I would like for us to consider tuition for the preschool once we have a new building and how we could bring in staff children and maybe community members also into the preschool.
And that will be a future discussion. Absolutely.
I know you haven't even thought of this, but surprise me and tell me maybe you have. I don't know why you didn't even think of this next question I'm going to ask, but this curious question, you make up a number if you want to. If that hopper got full, how many would we be talking about? Any idea?
At this time, it would be tough to answer that question.
I know it would.
It'll go back. I mean, you know, we could even be in a situation where an employee say, I want my child to attend, and let's say it's a fourth grader. This employee may work at Woodland, but we may not have room at Woodland, so we could offer that person Glenwood or Willowbrook or Linden. We'll just have to look at those numbers, because we do want to be careful and make sure we don't wind up hiring another position because of this practice. So.
And I know, too, as hard as we work to not let this happen, the possibility that it could happen exists is that you're a tuition student this year. Next year, there might not be room for you. I mean, potentially.
Unfortunately, we haven't dealt with that a lot, but there have been times with cross boundary that yes, we could continue to give you cross boundary, but not the school you wanted or tuition. So we can normally find a place, but sometimes it's not the place the parent would want. So it will require some management for this not to create a financial hardship on us.
Well, we'll hope we get to experience some of these things.
Yes. So, and there is a statement here. It says employees' children whose parents move from the city. So we did address if an employee has a child here and they move from Oak Ridge back out to a surrounding county, at that point they would pay tuition. But we did not address the part that I can find quickly, basically if a person's employment's in. So we will add that statement. That makes perfect sense.
Other comments or questions? Ms. Agle.
Well, I maintain that our community is strengthened when our professionals live here, particularly our teachers. I cannot support this. I would very readily support a proposal to take the same number of dollars we're talking about and pay part of the closing costs for a teacher who is moving into Oak Ridge, to do something to encourage residency in this community. And that, I think, is more fair to those employees who already choose to live here and choose to strengthen our community.
Other comments? This is first reading. It is Board Policy 6.204, attendance of non-resident students, employee tuition. All those in favor on first reading signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries 4-1.
Mr. Chairman, if I can, just for a lighter moment, because Dr. Miles Abrard said I could do this, he handed in two applications this morning, hoping this will pass the next time, and he wanted to be number one and number two. So he's in the hopper, and we appreciate that.
All right. Item B is FY budget transfer number one. This is a second reading on this budget transfer. Dr. Borges.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of budget transfer number one as outlined on the attached information.
For the superintendent's recommendation, do I hear a motion?
Move for approval.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Agle, seconded by Ms. McLean. Dr. Borges.
Again, this is a second reading, and which is now becoming something we've kind of systemically done mid-year to look at our cost and where we're ending up financially. And there is the outline of the number of items and the detail of those items on the attachments.
Comments or questions from the board? Hearing none, motion is second reading FY18 budget transfer number one. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Item C, 2019-2020 district school calendar. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of the district school calendar for 2019-2020.
For the superintendent's recommendation, do I hear a motion?
Move to approve.
Motion made by Ms. McLean, seconded by Mr. Eby. Dr. Borchers.
I'll turn this over to Mr. Lay, who's run this committee.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Borchers. I'll first of all just walk you through the process. I basically sent an email to all principals asking who their calendar committee representative would be. And then once we knew who those individuals were, I sent them an email asking them to meet survey, questioned their staff prior to our first meeting about basically what was important to them when it came to basically making our school calendar. So we had our first meeting and we basically created a survey, and we had the seven questions, and you see the results there. Basically 80.26% did not support starting school a week earlier. 97.39% were in favor of the Wednesday before Thanksgiving being a non-school day. 63.82% supported closing school on election day, and that's a major election, and we're trying to avoid most elections, but if we have a small one, then we still may have school. 87.21% supported the first day back in term two as a non-student day. 84.59% were in favor of the last day of term one as an early dismissal day. 80.20% were in favor of not having an equal number of student days in each of the two terms. And the only reason they were in favor of that, number one, our snow days usually come in term two, our testing is in term two, and for us to 100% even out the two terms, it requires us to start school even a week earlier than we're already starting school. So, and then number seven, 79.28% support winter break being a two full week block. This year we lost the benefit of a weekend, okay? And that seemed to be a major selling point. So basically we sent out the survey, we had these results, we met again, but the question came up in our original meeting with our building reps, why do we go 183 student days? Okay, so we had this conversation and I said, do me a favor. I said, I'll speak with the board, I'll speak with Dr. Borchers, and we will determine, could we consider going back to 180 student day when started a whole another discussion. And the committee was really nice. I asked them to keep it confidential, and they did. The word wasn't out, but basically we received permission to explore that. So as we were looking at the option that we would present to our teachers, you know, we were looking at an option like we have had in the past, you know, basically the standard calendar, which was option A. We would have had an option B that basically would have showed us starting school a week early. Well, we knew by the results here, no one was going to vote for that, or a very small percentage. So the committee said, let's go for the 180 student day. What we didn't have, honestly, was ample time to discuss the many options of doing that. So we gave the one option, basically trading those three student days to work intercession. And basically, you saw the vote. Basically, what, 86? Is it 78%? Okay. So anyway, so basically, option A was the winning calendar. Our teachers prefer to go that direction. And we'll continue to have discussions in the future. So calendar A is our recommendation, which is basically, except for the winter break, would be identical to the calendar we currently have. So.
Questions or comments, Ms. Marshall?
Yeah, so have we thought, and this feels ridiculous to say this out loud, so I'll acknowledge that on the front end, have we thought about 2021? And what that first week of school starts to look like as the calendar creeps forward, what our line in the sand is to say we will not start school before this date. Because as I look at the 2018-19 to 19-20 calendar, we're now to a 7-week summer for students, a 6-week summer for teachers, where they don't have any, where they have full weeks, you know, without being here. That starts to feel mighty short to me, for students to, A, have a break, for teachers to have a break, for there to be summer activities in a tradition. And part of my struggle with this, because I, and in general, I will also say I'm very supportive of our desire to have a balanced approach to the school year. So I don't have, in philosophy, I don't have any problem with that. I think the difficulty that we run into is that we are somewhat isolated still. I think when we kicked this off a couple of years ago, we thought that there would be a broader move in the surrounding areas to move more towards a balanced approach for other school systems. That's not happening, which means that if your child is involved in any activity outside the city limits of Oak Ridge, where it's not, where the summers aren't built this way, it does become an obstacle. And so I guess I raise that to just say, I'm not a no vote, so please don't hear that. I have a lot of question marks about quality of experience for our students and our teachers, as this seems to get, and maybe it's just my perception, but it seems to be squeezing each year just a little bit more, and I want to make sure we're thinking downrange, that we're really okay with six teachers being off for 6 weeks, that we're really okay with students being off only 7 weeks, that it just feels short to me. I've got a dog in this fight, and that's probably a terrible reference, so my apologies out there. I have personal interest in this. That's the better, more neutral way to say this, because I do still have children in the school system, but I know my family's experience is that this is a very short summer for traditional summer activities for students. So I guess I'll just raise that as a concern.
Okay. When we look at the calendars for the upcoming years, I mean, we basically look at, you know, according to the calendar, the approximate same starting date. I will tell you that the options are very limited when you are having a two-week fall break and a two-week spring break and your two-week winter break. To get 183 instructional days in, I mean, there's not a lot of movement of the calendar. And that's really what sort of brought on the conversation about reducing three student instructional days, because that would basically give students another full week, and actually staff. So we would accomplish that, but we'll just have to decide as a system how we can better use those days to benefit students prior to testing.
Mr. Eby.
Well, and you lose another day on Wednesday before Thanksgiving. So,
yes, sir.
So that's another day that's caused
yes,
you to move the
it
things
moves
forward.
It back. So,
you know, what I would like to see is, I appreciate what Ms. Marshall was saying, but perception, I want to know what the reality is. I would like to know the other school systems, when they're starting and when they're finishing. I think you'll find more and more starting, but I'm not sure. We got to look at it.
We actually did that.
Okay.
And, I mean, most systems, 3 to 4 days, one or two systems, perhaps a week. We are not that far out of balance with the other school system. And I'll be honest, I was a little bit shocked by that. We are closer with the other systems than you think. Now, once again, I have a young lady who's a daughter who's a freshman in college. She felt her summer was rather short during her Oak Ridge years too, so I understand that. But I will tell you one thing that this survey did for me personally, it did confirm but a very high percentage of our staff, they like the two-week fall break, they like the two-week spring break. If that were not the case, I think perhaps reducing the days and working intersession may have been more popular.
And you wouldn't have the intersession opportunity that you have.
Yes.
I think, once again, we've approached a topic that on our next retreat would be a good opportunity for the board to have the discussion about our calendars and our approach to what we're doing. I think that would be of value to us. May not take us 5 years like it did on the tuition question, but at least we're going to be having that discussion. So if you'll make note of that to do that.
That sounds great.
Ms. McClain.
Since the two A and B were so close, is that why we didn't poll parents for their opinions on A or B?
We typically do not poll parents for our school calendar. It's typically just our staff. So,
quick,
Ms. Marshall.
Sorry. When we started this balanced calendar approach, just a couple or 3 years ago, we said that at some point we would check in. So I think building on Ms. McClain's question. When is the appropriate time for us? And again, that may be for discussion, you know, offline or in a retreat setting, but it may be worth considering, when do we want to check in with parents? I'm glad to hear, and you're right. I mean, ultimately the survey says, and I assume that the survey isn't received as, you know, the lesser of two evils, that there's a general positivity amongst the staff. I trust your judgment there. So I will take that survey feedback as positive from the staff, but from parents, you know, is there a plan to reach out to the parents? And perhaps we should consider one.
Yeah, that might be a wonderful discussion for a retreat, and we certainly can we'll take the board's recommendation on how to do so. I think one of the challenges we have, and the you know, when you do that, we need to be ready for the information and what that means. And in our business, and probably a lot of businesses, you kind of listen for the noise, and we just haven't had that noise on this moving away from this calendar. Doesn't mean that there's some thoughts out there. So, but I think it'd be a great retreat discussion.
And that would probably be also a good question for you to approach the PTO, PTSA Council with, to see what their thinking is.
Well, right, I will share that I did, when we had our committee meeting, I did ask the representatives of the schools, you know, are you hearing conversations? I wish we had a longer summer. And in general, those conversations seem to be few and far between. So with that group, they did not communicate that is a burning issue. I mean, there are a few individuals out there, yes, because of family activities, whatever, they wish that summer was longer, but it doesn't appear to be a serious issue within our staff.
I promise this will be my last one, but perhaps we need to be real deliberate about setting expectations for when the metrics will follow the methodology change. Okay, so I believe we went to this because we said this was better for student learning, and that student outcomes would improve. So perhaps if we as a group could align to what the reasonable expectation for timing and what those what are the specific metrics in the scorecard that we expect to see change to the positive as a result of this, perhaps if we can be a little more explicit in setting those expectations and about setting expectations for the timing it will take to get there, maybe we have a better, more objective measuring stick. Because I know there's a lot of touchy-feely in what we've talked about so far, but the scorecard is pretty straightforward. And if we can agree on what metrics we expect to see improve and on what timing, how much longer we need to wait, then perhaps that'll drive more strategic patience.
And just to that, and we don't have to go back and forth all night, but we could do some of those. But I would say there is some anecdotal things to this, and I'd probably look to our staff for that and their feelings of how students come back recharged after that two-week break. So I think we would have a mixture of data to say how many failures at the high school did we turn into a passing grade, but I think there would be some anecdotal information our staff would want to share too.
And Ms. Marshall, I agree with you with regard to expectations of specific metrics, because I think if, you know, people thought, you know, you're going to see this in 2 or 3 years, I think you and I both know statistically, you know, it's not going to be 2 or 3 years, particularly when you look at all the variables associated with, you know, the scorecards and how people are graded and what their scores are, et cetera. You know, I don't think you're going to see a change. I think the anecdotal information is probably as good as any as you're going to get.
Well, but I think what we can do is set reasonable expectations. And I think we said we'll reevaluate, we'll see improvement. I don't think we, as a group, perhaps were as deliberate as maybe we could be now, knowing what we know. Perhaps we can do a better job of setting a reasonable time horizon. And I think you're exactly right. We're not going to see changes in 2 or 3 school years. But I don't expect it to take 10 either. And I think a parent sitting out there who's unhappy with this, and they may be fewer than they are, you know, but for parents who have questions about what our rationale is, I think creating some sort of reasonable expectation there is not inappropriate.
I think one piece of data that you might be able to get is with regard to the benefits of the intercession periods that you were able to have because of this, and how many students were failing grades. I mean, we saw at the last board meeting some outstanding results, you know, intercessions and all this. How many students weren't passing that are now passing because of the intercession? I think that those numbers are easy to see.
Ms. Agle.
We do get reports, but they tend to be at times of year that are kind of far away spaced from when we're considering the calendar. But the results of the intercession, I think one thing that might be worth looking at is if you look at particularly the different elementary schools, what intercession programs are offered and what results they're seeing based on what's offered, to maybe better guide the elementary schools. And these intercessions get better results, you know, hardcore measurable results. In general, though, while I feel the pain of summer getting shorter and shorter, and this schedule would have been problematic for our family, at the same time, I hear a little grumbling around the time school starts at the end of July, but I hear constant praise for the two-week fall break, the two-week spring break. That makes a huge difference. So in balance, what I hear from parents of current students is that they love this calendar. And my own kids have said, why didn't you do this while we were still in school?
Good conversations and some conversations to extend onward as we look at what might be appropriate. Dr. Beckendorf.
Just to add to the fun, I do think that we have solid metrics that come from our summer program. And I think that the summer slide is one of the huge reasons that many districts want to go towards a balanced calendar or even year-round school. Because a lot of times kids will lose the progress they've made during the school year when they have those really large breaks in learning. And we have seen through our bookmobile program and through our Read to Be Ready summer camp program that when we can work with the kids during a shorter summer, that they maintain or exceed the progress that they had made during the school year. So we do have those metrics for at least for reading. And as we saw last year, that aligned with the good progress we made in literacy with TN Ready. So I think we've already seen some good metrics. And I think we'll continue to get even better at it. But I did want to bring that up because there's the intercession, but there's also that shorter summer that prevents some of that summer learning loss.
All right. Motion is approval of 2019-2020 district school calendar. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carries unanimously. The next item. Item D is the extension of the contract for the superintendent of schools. Superintendent can't make the motion on this, so that would be up to me to make that motion. So I recommend that the Board of Education vote that effective June 18th, 2018, term of the contract of employment between the Board of Education and Dr. Bruce Borchers, superintendent of schools, shall be extended until June 17th, 2022.
I move for, oh, you made a motion? Definitely. So I'll second.
Yeah. Motion was made and seconded by Mr. Eby. Comments or discussions? We had some time at our last meeting that we talked about the process that we've gone through, the opportunities for board members to meet with the superintendent. So we'll just finish up this for those watching, the explanation by law, we can only extend the superintendent's contract an additional year and have the superintendent under contract total years, 4 years at a time. So that's what this would be doing, is extending an additional year. Unless he's changed his mind since my last conversation with him, the superintendent has agreed to sign this agreement. Which is a good, very good thing. So additional follow-up comments, Ms. Eagle?
I'm grateful to have you. I am tickled to death that you chose to move to a smaller town and make your home here. I like the way that you participate in the community and that you join different civic groups and that people recognize you in the grocery store every X day at such time. We both know what day that is because I shop at the same time. I'm glad to have you here, and I'm glad you're willing to stay. Thank you.
All right. Very good. Motion on the floor is extension of the contract for the superintendent of schools. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Moving on to items for information, financial report. Are there any questions? Items for discussion, any old business, new business, communications. We have a pretty full calendar of activities coming up. I'll go through briefly. Tomorrow night, there's a joint work session with the members of the Board of Education and City Council. This will take place at Robertsville Middle School starting at 6 p.m. on the 26th, which is this Friday. There's a truancy meeting at Jefferson Middle School at 10 a.m. On the 31st of this month, the board has a board visit to Glenwood Elementary School beginning at 7:45. And move into February. On February the 7th, Mr. Eby will be hosting our Focus on Education. On February 12th and 13th, the Board of Education and administrative staff will be attending our Day on the Hill in Nashville. This is our opportunity to meet with our state legislators and also to hear of the legislative agenda and have discussions on that among ourselves and other board members and our senators and representatives. On February the 21st, the board will visit Robertsville Middle School. That's at 7 a.m. On February the 26th will be our next board meeting, and I did leave out the board. We just talked about that. I need to mention the board will be attending, or members of the board will be attending in February, a STEM.
Advanced Ed STEM Advanced Summit, I think is the correct name for it. Yep. Along with a lot of our staff.
In Murfreesboro on that day. So a lot going on inside and outside the school district. So any additional comments or concerns? Thank everybody for being here. Thank you for watching on TV. And Dr. Borchers, we look forward to continued success in our school district. We are adjourned.